So this is all about writers and authors, and we're coming to you from the Ohio Writers Guild. However, we're not just limited to Ohio. We have authors now all around all different states. I was just talking to Ray last night. We have a couple of authors now in Georgia that is connected to our group. So I took over the Ohio Writers Guild. It was a Facebook group. Several years ago, after I retired from my day job and went full time into mentoring and coaching. And when I took over the Ohio Writers Guild, it had less than 1,000 members, and we've grown it to over 3,000 members now. And we, of course, have our meetup group as well, which is how some of you indicated today that you found us. So welcome. I'm glad you're here. And I have, myself, Kathy Benner, I'm a passive income mentor. I have an actual online academy, and I have put together some light coursework. It's not heavy duty if you're just a brand new author. This is a great way to get started. And in the academy, we go through an entire series of how to get published, and then all the other topics, how to get your writing done. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to find time in the day to actually sit down and do the writing. And then how to do the editing, and then how to do the uploading, how to get it either self-published or get it out to a publisher or find an agent. I mean, there's just so many parts and pieces to this journey. And then, of course, when we get to the other end and we finally are published and we've got that baby that we birthed in our hands and we are ready, we're like, how in the world do we let people know we have our book, and how are we going to market this? How are we going to sell this book? And especially for some of us that are hoping to monetize our writing. And we're like, oh gosh, gee, there are folks out there that are making a living at this. Is there any way that I possibly could make a living at doing this? And so we talk about all the different ways to monetize your writing, everything from using affiliate links with blogging, to selling books, to ghostwriting for other people. I mean, there's just a million and one ways that you can actually monetize your writing if you're truly convinced that you are a writer and that's what you want to do. There's ways that you can monetize that. So today I want to talk just briefly about the publishing process, because as you're writing, and don't stop writing, don't think that you have to solve this question first. But there are a million and one ways that you can publish your book. First of all, we talk about traditional publishing, where you've got the big publishers out there, and you have an agent, and you pitch, and then you actually get a deal where a publisher is going to pick up your work. And they do a lot of the work for you, but they still are looking for some things that you are bringing to the table. They want to know that you have a following, and that you're, because again, books are business. And if you want to monetize and make a living at this, then you have to keep that in mind at some point. Now, if you're just writing to be writing because you want to write and you want to just do it for your own pleasure, or you're just writing your memoirs for your own family or for a legacy, there's always that aspect of it. But if you want to write and make a living or monetize your writing, you do have to keep in mind that books are business. And so when once you get out there and you start looking, it gets very confusing, because there are all of these vanity publishers all across the map. And then everybody says, oh, just self-publish, because then you can, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, now I got to wear all the hats. I have to figure out how to write the darn thing, how to edit the thing. Now I got to figure out how to upload it, and I got to figure out where I'm going to, post it, and where it's going to show up. And you're thinking, that's just overwhelming. And so you have a tendency to maybe not do any of that, because you just think you don't want to wear all those hats. So just know that at one end of the spectrum is the big publishing companies, the traditional publishing. At the other end of the spectrum is the self-publishing, where you're doing everything. And then there's a million and one hybrids in the middle. And that's where it gets confusing. And all I want to say about that is that all the hybrids are not bad, and all the hybrids are not good. You do have to be careful of scams out there. There are some folks that have, they basically prey on the fact that you don't know what you don't know. And so they make you these big promises for some big sum of money, and then they don't actually come through. And so just be careful. Do your due diligence. If you want to try one of the vanity publishers, one of those in between, the million and ones in between, I usually like to connect with somebody that's already used someone and find out and get some of their experiences. You know, how did it work? Did they come through? Did you get what you paid for? That sort of thing before I actually sign on the dotted line and send them my money and then discover that maybe possibility it was a scam. So just be careful with all of that is all I'm saying. And I do want to share my screen. And before I turn it over to Sandy, I'm going to share my screen for just a moment. And this is what my actual academy looks like. And I'll move our faces here just a moment. When you come across the menu bar here to the More button and click down, here is the authors and writers. You can see where I do the free meetups, which is what we're doing today. But I have a health and wellness lane, a real estate lane, an entrepreneur and solopreneur lane. And here is the authors and writers lane. And here is the networking and connecting. So I have these five lanes, one, two, three, four, five. So I'm going to click on the authors and writers so that you can see what that looks like. And as soon as you open that up, here is where you can get all of our replays. And the replays go now. Oh gosh, Sandy, I forget. Are we 3 years in, 4 years?
I think
Several
three.
years. Yeah. Of replays, and you can go back and listen to those. But then here is where you click on the course. And when you click on this Authors and Writers, the Ohio Writers Guild, this talks about write from anywhere in the world, helping you to get published. It's everything you need to know to create and monetize your writing. And of course, if you go down here, it gives you all of the topics. So choosing a publishing route, editing your draft, getting feedback, titling your manuscript, formatting, designing your book cover, writing a publisher-ready book description, creating a book launch plan, publishing your book to online retailers, and marketing your book to increase sales. So that's the those are all the topics. Here is the link to the calendar, my calendar, where you can click in to see whenever we're going to be online. And here, of course, is the registration link. So I want to scroll down. And here is choosing the publishing route. And that's what we're talking about. We're at the top of the year. And here are the three main routes to publishing. And I'm not going to go through and read it. You can click through there on your own. But it talks all about the traditional publishing. It gives the historical significance. It gives you the external validation, financial support. It talks all about that. And then, of course, if you scroll on down, it talks about the self-publishing and it gives you all of the points and then the vanity presses, and it'll give you all of the points. And it just helps you understand the publishing industry a little better. And then the three main routes to publishing, again, I go into a little more detail, and this is where I spell out all of those points. And so you are welcome to go through that. It talks all about the variety of how you can get published. And the point that I want to make here is that you need to just educate yourself so that when you get out there, you have a little bit better idea of where you want to go with your publishing. And now some of you are like, oh, I'll never be published. If you're putting, I've seen great podcasts or great blog posts just on Facebook. You know, where people they just tell a story, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this person should have a blog or something. They're such a great writer and storyteller. And then sometimes I'll even make a note in a comment and I'll say, have you ever thought about having a blog? Because they really have one. They're publishing themselves out on Facebook, but they don't own that. They're not putting that material anywhere else. And if their Facebook goes down, they've lost their writing. And so I encourage them to, and especially if you want to think about being a writer and you haven't quite launched anything yet, make sure that if you're writing something out on Facebook or Instagram or someplace where you're being a little bit creative and getting a start in your writing career, make a document somewhere and save all of that writing so that you don't lose it. Put it all in one place. And down the road, you can actually put that together and get published. So don't think that your writing is too small. And don't think that, you know, oh, everybody else can do this except me, because we all can be published. You just have to make the decision that you're going to be. And then you can go from there and do your due diligence and your homework and roll up your sleeves. And I look in the mirror every day and I tell myself, I am smart enough to figure this out. So hang in there, and we're happy that you're here. Again, Sandy Kachurik is my co-host, my co-mod, and she puts together every year this amazing writer's workshop. So I encourage all of you, if you've not attended a workshop, to please do that. And the reason I say that is it gives you, number one, a better overview of the industry, because now you're in a room full of writers, many of which are already published. And it just really helps you see where you fit in that spectrum of writers. And then she has amazing guests that is, it's just, I've been to several writers' workshops, and Sandy's is still my favorite because it's small enough that you feel like you're a part of the community. You don't feel like you're just a number in the room. So I'm going to turn it over to Sandy and let her tell us about her workshop that's coming up. Her registration, am I correct, is now live, right? You are now live.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So continue over to Sandy and tell us about the workshop.
Thanks, Kathy. And it was about 3 years ago when writers, anybody doing something wants to find an audience who wants to hear what they have to say or buy what they have to offer. And Kathy's own group here, I thought, maybe I'll ask, would she let me talk about a writing workshop? And so for the past few years, that's what I have done. I have been directing, owning a writer's workshop since 2019. Started off like Kathy, helping out somebody who wanted to do it. And then at the end of the first year, she couldn't make the second year after she set it up. And after that, she goes, if you want this, I go, oh, sure, why not? I taught high school English. What could be harder than that, huh? And it's nice because these English students, so to speak, really want to come. And there is a price tag, unfortunately. I think it's kind of high, but oh my gosh, I'm at the Mills Park Hotel in Yellow Springs, Ohio. And if you've never been to Yellow Springs, Ohio, look it up. It's worth taking a look at. There are these little pockets all over the country, let's just keep it in the USA, that you wonder, where did they come from? How did they drop out of the sky? And the Antioch College, way back, flower children, all that hippie sort of stuff, I think originated somewhere around Yellow Springs. And they haven't quite lost, and thankfully, haven't quite lost that uniqueness. So it's worth just coming down for the weekend. Well, I moved from a little community center in Yellow Springs to the hotel, and it's a gorgeous hotel. And there are gorgeous people there as well who are helping put the physical part of this workshop together. I only work with a couple guests. I don't usually have more than three. And when I have them, I keep them for the whole weekend. This year, I have two. I have a literary agent. Her name is Vicky Salvaggio, and she owns, as well as agents, for Storm Literary Agency. And if you're interested in pitching your story to her, but you don't think she's going to represent your genre, then look at her Storm Literary Agency. Because I've asked her, I said, so what do you think? If you think one of your employees, your other agents, would represent somebody pitching to you that weekend, could you pass them on? She goes, absolutely. So there's that. And why a literary agent? We talk a lot about independent publishing, self-publishing, because it's a world in which you could do it your way. But I've heard, I've read, I've people have talked about this traditional publishing, getting an agent, should I, shouldn't I, just like Kathy was talking about. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get one. And I'm going to bring her or him or them to into the Springs and keep them there the whole weekend. So if your question, you didn't think about that question. She's going to talk about the life of an agent, Agent 101, on Friday evening, and how to pitch and query letters and things like that. And if you don't think of your question until like Saturday around 10 or 11 o'clock, she'll still be there. Well, how about 5 p.m. on Saturday? Yep, still there. And what about Saturday, Sunday morning until noon? So I kind of eke out as much as I can from my featured guests, and I keep them in the same space in the banquet hall for the whole weekend. So even though they may not be giving a presentation or leading a session, they will be there. So if there's a break or a pause, or they may interject something into the conversation what the other guest is talking about, politely, of course. My other guest, by the way, has been, this is one of the first times I've had somebody on repeat. So I've been doing it. This is my 7th year. And this is Juliet Hyland. And she is on her 25th romance book with Harlequin Romance. And you know, it's that where she doesn't need an agent for that, but she's not independently, she's not self-publishing. She works with an editor. And an editor, an agent, she had to give her proposal in the very beginning to get that job, and she does it. And she has a day job doing something else altogether. And she raises two teenagers and a husband and a couple dogs, cats, or whatever it is. How does she find the time? Those are kinds of questions that you can ask. How does a professional writer also handle real life things? And as not that that's not real life as well. She's going to talk about perfecting that basic craft. Yes, you've been writing for a while or relatively lately. But what do people think of when they're talking about that first couple paragraphs to grab a reader's attention? You know how you are. You're looking through your whole scrolling through all those topics, wherever you're at, Facebook, Blue Sky, wherever. What grabs your attention enough to look more than just the headline? Look more than just the first paragraph. And how do you do that? How do you write it in such a way that that reader is going to turn the page and turn the page and turn the page? That's where Juliet comes in, and that's where the agent comes in as well. Because we're all writing, as Kathy said, books are business. We're writing for an audience. And if you're talking about how to get to the moon and your audience are 5 years old or they're 25 years old, that audience, how you write it is going to change. So I have them that whole weekend. You can stay at the hotel. Woo-hoo! Boy, is that a dime and a half. A lot of people do bed and breakfasts. A lot of folks do Airbnbs, or they'll go into the Dayton. We're not far from Dayton and Xenia and Cedarville and Springfield. And so there are other more affordable places if you have to stay overnight. What else do I allow you? I want you to do? I allow you to do. You can sell your books. We'll be doing that. Open mic reading, in which you can read the first 10 minutes, the 10 minutes of your story to us writers and listeners, and listening for everything and enjoying ourselves. And if you want, for extra money, a private critique of the first 10 pages of your novel, you could do that with the agent or with Juliet or both. That's a little extra. Not only will they do in-text comments, but they'll meet with you in person for up to 10 minutes and chat about what you want to chat about. And if you want to go over that one-page query letter, yes, it's one page, but it could make or break you as a traditionally published author. So it's pretty doggone critical. You can have her evaluate that as well, though she will be talking about that over the weekend. And like I said, giving pitches and pitches where you've got about 3 minutes to give to pitch your book to her, and she knows that fast because the rest of the 10 minutes she'll be asking you questions. She'll know by the end of those 3 minutes if like, oh, I could use this, or oh, I know somebody in my staff who could do this, or whatnot. Do you have to have your whole novel done? No, but you must know how it ends. Not that you're going to talk about that, but you've got to be able to know how it ends if you're going to pitch it. Okay, I think I could go on as I did last month. So, hey, Wonderful to be here. Nice to see sunshine. And thank you again, Kathy, as always, for asking me to come on and chit chat.
I love it. Sandy, thank you so much. I love your writer's workshop so much. And we just have so much fun. And I've made connections while I was there. And like I said before, I've attended other writers' workshops because I wanted to immerse myself more into, the author community, and just kind of rub elbows with some of those bigger authors. And I have just met so many amazing folks. And so one of the things that I've realized, and I think I had a conversation with Sandy about this. I've discovered, and this is just my observation, and it's nothing scientific about it, but as I attend these writers' workshops and these writers' conferences, it seems to me that the room has a lot of introverts in there. That writers a lot of times are a little more introverted. I don't know how anybody else perceives that, but it's a great safe place. And that's what I want to share with you. Sometimes I think writers, they have the creativity and they want to be a writer and they want to come out of their shell, but they are somewhat, shy or an introvert. And so they have a tendency that they don't want to be in any crowds at all. And I'm telling you, these writers' workshops are a great safe place because there's going to be 30 or 40 of you in the room and they're just like you.
Yep. That's
So
for sure.
take a chance, step out. Attend, find something in your area. I don't know where everyone is from. Put over in the chat, make sure it says to everyone, but put over in the chat where it is that you're coming to us from so we see
Yeah,
where
that'd
everyone
be
is
fun.
today.
Sure.
Yeah.
And just
So,
as a teaser, I have a discount if you read, I opened registration January 1st, and there's a discount until January 31st. But even then, this is it. This is where you go up to the agent or the professional author, Juliet, and say, I have always heard that. And then ask them, ask them, ask them.
I love it. Yes, Sandy, thank you so much. Now, today I want to introduce Ray Depew to us, to everybody on the call. And of course, then we're going to put him out there on all of our audio channels on our podcast. Now, I do not have a bio for Ray. So, Ray, as we get started, tell us just a little bit about your background and your history. And then in this first question with what inspired you to create the National Authors in Grocery Store programs? And so this is going to be amazing for everyone because you are going to find when he finally gets to telling us the numbers, you're going to find this unbelievable. So Ray, give us a little bit of background and how you came about starting the National Authors in Grocery Store program.
First off, Sally, Kathy, thank you very much for having me today. Everyone else, thank you for having me here. Sally, Jada, Linda, Sylvia, did I miss anybody? I don't, and Leslie, I don't think I've missed anybody. It's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you very much. So my humble beginnings, I'm not going to go all the way back to my birth. I was born in the Northeast. I was born in the Hudson Valley of New York, which is a very much a storytelling tale fable kind of like area from all the days of, with Edgar Allan Poe and all the times of Washington Irving and everything else. That's the kind of area I grew up in. My family came to America in 1621. We've been here over 400 years. I'm the ninth or 10th generation, if you will. We've known presidents all the way back through Abraham Lincoln to even George Washington. We've had a long history in the country. I even have a motorcade picture of my great 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 uncle in the car with Teddy Roosevelt, which is pretty wild. So we go back a long ways. And in that time, stories were told from grandmother to grandchild over decades, centuries. And I was about the ninth generation to hear the stories from my grandmother. So I wrote them down and called a series called Dunbridge. Well, Dunbridge started me into the writing world. I was independently published. I started spending $20,000 that I didn't have on 20,000 mistakes, like everyone else in the writing world. And I started to learn a lot from it. I had learned about going to festivals, learned how to make books into a business to actually understand. Now, everyone says, oh, writing is an art. It absolutely is an art. But where it starts to really start to get to the nitty gritty is understanding how much do I spend on an editor? How much do I spend on a, you know, publishing house, book formatters, everything else? And I love this quote, which is, you can quote it from me. We as humans cut blank checks for what we don't understand. And, you know, we are very good at doing that because we will pay whatever it takes to get the thing done. And we don't know what the end game is or anything else. It's like, if you haven't built a house before, somebody comes up to you and says, oh, it's $300,000. By the time you're done, you're spending $600,000. You know, sometimes this is where the writing world can really start getting scary for a lot of people. And like everyone was talking about, there are both good publishers and bad publishers out there. There's good hybrids, bad hybrids, and you have to do your research. And I think that was part of the whole thing in the end, which was interesting hearing both Sandy's and Kathy's comments today. You know, so flash forward, when I was starting to get my book out there, I met this, I met an author, and her name was Debbie Frontier, and she lived here in Houston, where I was now, because I moved to Houston eventually. And that was almost 12, 13 years ago. And I had my books and she says, hey, would you like to sell them in the grocery store? And I said, sure. And so I started selling them in the grocery store, and I'm looking at the opportunity here. And I'm like, I'm getting in the middle of the grocery store with steady traffic. I don't have to sit there and be out in the rain in a festival. I don't have to pitch a tent, which I've done before. I've actually had 3 tents destroyed at festivals. I've probably lost around 400 books of my own at festivals through water damage and everything else. I've traveled the entire country, but this was convenient. I mean, I get to bring my table, my chairs, my banner in, and my books scan at the register. I'm not handling cash, cards, credit cards. I'm not handling anything to do with money orders, none of that stuff. And then I'm getting a check cut to me the following week for 62% royalty. And everyone's like, 62%. And I'm like, but here's the thing, it's my business. I can publish and print the books anywhere I want and cut my costs that way. I can set the price of the books any which way that I want to make the money. I can raise the price on Amazon if I so choose and have it lower in the grocery store if I want. That's the nice part about being an independent author. You have control over everything that you want to do with the books. And most people don't realize that until they get into it. Most people are just trying to write a book. They don't understand the business aspect of it. And business is extremely important in this organization of writers across the country. And so I said to Debbie after my first book signing, I said to her, if you ever want to hand the keys over to the author's program here in Houston, I'd be happy to run it. And she chuckled and laughed and she says, well, we'll see. Well, 5 years went by. And I got a phone call at 9:30 at night, and it was Debbie. And she says, you know, my husband and I have been talking and we're retiring. We're leaving Houston. Do you want the program? And she handed it over to me. And we worked out our deals or businesses. And so I said, I'm going to work to try to take the program national if Kroger will have us. Because the biggest thing was just trying to be a good shepherd to not only the authors, but to Kroger, because they were being a wonderful guest to all of us. And Kroger was also facing their own challenges of, you know, books on a shelf. You know, we already have a contract with that. So what are you guys going to do for us? Or, you know, not what you're going to do for us, but how is your program going to work nationally if you take it that way? And I said, well, we'll be like a national park. We'll pack in and pack out. Does that work for you? And we can follow our scan-based trade process, which is, you know, the books are at the register. We bring them in. Customer picks them up from our table, scans them at the register, and off they go. They said, that works for us. So slowly but surely, we added Texas, we added Michigan, we added Ohio, we added Kentucky, we added Tennessee, a little bit of Indiana, Southern Indiana, Alabama, Georgia, Southern South Carolina, Arizona, Colorado, Southern California, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Alaska. We're now in 20 states across the country. And when we first started out, we were only in about 200 stores. Today, we are in 1,500 stores nationwide, which is amazing. And the authors in the program, we have about 160 active authors. Last year alone, they sold 26,000 books in the program. And everyone's like, well, that doesn't sound like that much. Yeah, they were selling them at the full value price of what the paperback book would sell for, not 99 cents. And they weren't free either. So, you know, that's another thing. You know, I I don't want to get off track, but one thing that, and I'm glad to see you're a writing group here because this is important for people who are writing books for the first time or getting out there. Why are you putting your books for free and why are you selling them for 99 cents? And I was like, oh, it's a marketing idea. Yeah, but you're diminishing the value of your work. And I learned that for myself. And we have gotten so accustomed to the 99 cent free, the $1.99, oh, which we don't have to print it. It's just Kindle and everything else. What's the difference? It's the same quality of writing that you went and put into that book, whether I'm holding it or not. You know, paperback at one point is going to have a shelf life where it could disintegrate. Digital's forever, and you're giving it away for 99 cents. You know, so this was something else to kind of think about. And now we were signing books in the grocery store, and people were getting not only the value of a signed book, but meeting the author. And this was a big pinnacle point for us. And we've now been around 23 years. I've been running the program now for 8 years. We just finally got Ohio's full state. We're in both in the Columbus area and we're in the Cincinnati-Dayton area. We have over 230 stores in Ohio that we're in through Kroger. And other than blockout dates, meaning like right on the holidays, you can pretty much sell your books over 300 days a year in the grocery store with your table and chairs. And we do charge a registration fee. It's $100, just register, and then $25 for each ISBN. We do a discount if you do five or more books, and then it's just $75 a year to renew, and that's it. The other thing that our programs launched is something called locallysigned.com, because in my experience, authors have had a real hard time trying to build websites of their own, e-commerce websites on their own, and the Shopify's of the world are just too expensive. You're spending $40, $50 a month on an e-commerce page in the hopes you'll sell a book. So we've built locallysigned.com, which will run authors $75 a year, which is a bargain. And they'd be getting 75% commission of their book sales and signing their books. And that's a whole new process that's coming in place in 2025. But I think the exciting part about this is you get to get into front of the public. Your book's not going to sit on a shelf. It's not going to be collecting dust. You're in the front. You're in the front of the store. You're in right there. And this is where you get the opportunity to not only sell yourself, but your writing and build a name for yourselves. And I think that's probably one of the most important things that anyone's ever tried to do when they're trying to write. They want people to recognize their writing and get out there. And there's so many fantastic authors that are just not going to be in the big five. They're not going to be in Random House, Scholastic, Simon Schuster, and everything else. That doesn't mean their books are not good quality books that the public should see and recognize. And I believe our program gives that opportunity to folks. And we do have criteria for our books. Like, we don't get into pornography, sexual harassment, suicide, abortion, any of these big hot, you know, topics. We don't get into all that stuff. Do a lot of children, sci-fi, fantasy, short stories, memoirs, inspirational books, and they do very well. So I'll take a pause there because that's a lot to digest what I just said. So.
Well, I love everything about the program so far. Ray, tell us, let's say one of us wanted to get into the program. How do you actually review their book and decide whether it fits the program or not? What's the criteria for doing that?
As long as it doesn't have the aforementioned topics that I have, pretty much you're good to go with the program at that point. It's when it becomes a gray line. When it becomes a gray line, we have a reading circle in the book, in the program, that will actually review and vet the books and say, it's a go, it's a not. It's a $25 charge for it. But if the book passes the reading circle, the $25 goes toward your registration. But yeah, we had to come up with a method for that because there's what we call the in-between books that we don't know about. We've had authors that have had titles that have been, and then when you read the book, you're like, you know what, you're okay. One of our authors writes historical novels, and based all on historical fact of the Oregon Trail and all the trials and tributes of it. But, you know, at first you're like, oh my God, some of the stuff that they're writing in there is a little, they're not writing anything. They're doing microfiche clips of the Chicago Times from the 1800s. You know, and you're reading those things, and it's the Chicago Times that's writing about those things, and she's just reporting on the overall thing. She actually is our, she was our Storyteller of the Year award winner for 2024, and she's on our Facebook page and on our website as part of her prize for the 2025 year.
I love that. Now, how do you choose what grocery stores? Is it just the Kroger chain, or is it other grocery stores besides Kroger's?
We have tried to branch out beyond Kroger. Kroger has been the most welcoming of all grocery stores that we've worked with yet so far. We've reached out to a number of other grocery stores, just the model doesn't fit within their parameters. So we've just worked with Kroger. And what people don't realize about Kroger themselves, there are almost 3,000 stores nationwide. And they have been the most absolutely welcoming company I've ever seen with our program. And I mean, 23 years, I mean, that's a nice long relationship. And we're very proud of that.
I love that. I love that. Share some success stories for some of your authors who have participated, and what strategies actually help them really succeed in this program.
Yeah, I'll share some social media successes. We had one author who was down right here in Ohio. She was in the grocery store just this past week during the snow. And so she went there anyway, because she was dedicated to go in. She's like, I'm going. I was like, all right. She goes into the store and a woman had purchased her book and had posted about it on Facebook, about how lovely an experience it was. And then hundreds of people later see all that. We had an author in Dallas who was doing a book signing. His name was Sean Warner. I don't know if you guys remember that name, but he wrote Lehigh Howard and the Ghosts of Simmons Manor, which was back in 2023 was a big book. And the reason why it was a big book is he was in our program one day selling his books. Someone came in, visited with him, you know, put him on his TikTok as I met the author. And 26 million views later on TikTok, he was a worldwide success and sold over 130,000 books. Now, look, is that going to happen to everybody? No, I'm not a snake oil salesman. I don't sit there saying that every book's going to be lightning in a bottle. And I'm not going to say to everybody, you're going to sell so many books. We don't work like that. You know, what I've realized is you could have the best book, but if you've got the worst attitude, you won't sell a thing. You know, and that is the thing. I mean, I've seen authors that at festivals and stuff, they're texting the whole time, or they're just so introverted, they're not selling anything. And nobody's, you know, the thing that I think the biggest thing for us as authors to realize is there's an entertainment value for these folks to meet somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was just at Comic-Con, you know, and the creator of Rick and Morty was there. And you should have seen my son light up with how excited he was to meet him. And the guy was absolutely wonderful. Now imagine he wasn't. And imagine he's like, yeah, yeah, kid, just give me the paper. He'll never forget that experience as a negative. And that's the thing. I'm not saying we got to sit there and showboat tunes and everything else to try to get people to be happy about a book sale. But I am saying that, you know, remember, they're just as excited to meet you as you are to sell a book. Mm-hmm. So there's a value to that. There's a value to that.
Give me some advice that you might hand out to some of these authors when they're setting up their table. Any must do or must not do's to help them be more successful?
The biggest advice I've ever seen is make sure you have clean, clear, concise signage. And make sure that it's not flooded with too many things. You don't want to put like 75,000 words on a 2x6 banner. Maybe it's just meet the author, get your book signed today, boom, done. You know, that's nothing major. And then on your table, don't make it look like a garage sale. You know, you're not selling, you know, this isn't the dollar table. You know, you've got to have your books and what in the face front so people can see them. If you've got more than 3 books or 4 books, I would only put 3 books out, you know, and if you got like 10, I wouldn't put all 10 out. It's like this. If you went to the diner, right, and you're like, you know, I'm going to go there and grab a sandwich and soup. That's what you got in mind. And then what does the waitress or waiter hand you? They hand you a menu that's about 3 inches thick with 75 pages in it of food to choose from. And then all of a sudden your soup and sandwich plan has turned into potatoes, a steak, a salad, and all this other stuff that you weren't even expecting or even thinking about, because all these other thoughts started going in your head and all these other things, you know. So the idea is the less complicated you make it, the better off you're going to be. And you have to guide people to realize what they're doing. And I think that I've seen overall is a big help, you know. Is everyone receptive to, you know, meeting an author? No. But I mean, not everyone's susceptible to canned peas. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, you're going to have your moments. You're going to have moments where they're just, you know, people aren't. I sat at worst story I ever had. I was up in Fredericksburg, Texas at a festival in the middle of this cold, cold day. And I had my tent up and everything else. They were having some kind of, I don't know, they were smoking something next to me. It wasn't meat. It was like some kind of wood just to keep warm or something. And it was awful. I sold 10 books in 2 days in 30 degree weather. I mean, that was a nightmare. Plus I traveled 3 hours to get there, plus a hotel room and everything else. And I'm like, you know, you will have your bad days, but your good days are going to outnumber all of them. And I think that that's something that people need. When has anyone on this phone call had a perfect 365 year? I mean, if you can tell me that, I would really like to know the secret to your life. Please put that in the book and I will read that. You know, I mean, look at the challenges and tribulations we go through in a year. I mean, I'm not even going to get into all the things we went into last year. We just started this year and it's only 13 days in. You know, so I think the thing is simplifying and just recognizing the ups and downs of a day. You will have down days and you will have positive days. But the idea is to stay even with it and realize that this too shall pass. And you must believe that when you truly believe, you can move mountains. And that's what the objectivity of staying the course is. I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, and when you think about going into a grocery store, again, it's not anything like what you just described, where you're, you know, packing up your car with tents and having to get a hotel room and then lugging all these books out in the rain. You know, it's so much easier than all of that. And yeah. I think one of the easiest things is the fact that you don't have to handle the money. Talk to us about how that works again.
That's really handy. I mean, all the books themselves. Let me see if I've got one. I don't have it there. Well, this is an old book, but usually they have like the ISBN code on the bottom. So they're scanning at the register and that's it. And what happens is we get a report every Tuesday from Kroger that shows us what ISBN sold attached to what authors. And then we're cutting their checks to them that Friday. So if you're selling between Sunday and Saturday, the following Friday, you're either getting a Zelle payment or a check sent to you. So you're not waiting 120 days like you are with people for your payments. And what we've learned is it's not what we've learned. Think about any of us. None of us like to wait for money that's owed to us. That's terrible. You know, and especially in the book industry, if you've got, you know, if you just sold $500 in books this week, you want to do it again. And if you're waiting for a check for 9 months for that $500, or you got it next week, you can go invest that again and go buy more books and do it again. You know, and that's the whole thing. When the momentum's high and you're positive about it, you want to be able to invest in what's going and working right, not wait on it, you know, and I think that's important, you know. So, I never liked waiting for my money when I'm on Amazon. And I mean, they keep extending it out. I'm sure by the time my daughter's 25, it'll be 3 years before you get your check payment cut from Amazon, you know. And look, Amazon's a great place. I've enjoyed, you know, the publishing platform there is useful, but there are challenges to it. Trying to get the format right, trying to understand the Kindle formats right. Even Ingram Spark has their challenges as well. And that right there is a Rubik's Cube onto itself, Ingram Spark, to get a book loaded on there. But we've created contacts within our program that when you sign up, there's people there that can help you. People that do editing, formatting, you know, can load books onto platforms for you, you know, and that's the kind of stuff we try to do, is that community support. So, but did I answer your question, Kathy, or did I go over the
Yes,
top?
yes. Yes. So when I have my book and I'm at my table and I autograph the book and then I hand it to the person and then they just check out along with the rest of their groceries. They just take the book up front.
100%. The one thing we do is we have authors scan a copy of the back of their book and hand the paper to the customers, and then they come back with the receipt. And we do that because the grocery industry over the past 100 years has always done these giveaways. So they're when they see somebody in the store, sometimes they've got the idea that maybe this is going to be a giveaway. So we do that method, which helps us out a lot with keeping track of
Okay.
sales. So that's another thing that we do as well.
Okay. So that makes it nice and easy for the author. Don't have to handle any of the money part of it at all.
No.
I love that. I love
Nope.
that.
Plus, it's dangerous running around with all that cash and everything else. Yep.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. You're sitting there and then you're trying to, especially if you have two or three or four people come up to your table at the same time and you're trying to juggle that. And if you're a little bit of an introvert to begin with, now all of a sudden you're feeling kind of overwhelmed, depending on how the day goes.
Yeah, because you're literally flipping out of the book signing world into the math world.
Yes.
And
Yes.
it kind of gets challenging.
Now, how do the grocery store customers perceive a book table in the middle of the grocery store?
What we've noticed over the years is it's been a unique opportunity, and I think when people first hear about it, like if you listen to it, sometimes if you're looking at some comments on Facebook or whatever else, like how does that work? They're just like, that just sounds weird. And yet when the customers are actually physically there, they're like, this is pretty neat. I'm getting to meet the author and get my book signed today. So I think there's a there's a conceptualization that's hard for people to contemplate when they're not actually seeing what it's like. And then when they see what it's like, they're like, wow, that's pretty cool. It's almost like, it doesn't have to be food, that when you're in a grocery store. I mean, the grocery store industry has changed so much. I mean, think about it. You can get pans, pots, you can get some places furniture now, clothing. I've seen toys in some of these supermarkets that are just amazing. But, I think what's interesting is, the overall reception has been wonderful. And the customers have been very polite to us, and it's been a great experience from that standpoint. Absolutely.
Sandy asked, what is the actual name of the program again?
National Authors in Grocery Stores program, and you can look at us at authorsingroceriestores.com.
Very good. I love that. Do you recommend particular promotional techniques to these authors to maybe get some of their, I'll call it their fan club or their tribe to actually come to the grocery store for the book signing?
Yeah, what I've noticed is a lot of authors will actually sit there and set 3 and 4 months of book signings out, and then they'll create what they would call a tour. And then they'll post that tour up on Facebook, or they'll post it actually in their community at the gyms, the Starbucks, or whatever else. And when they do that, they're drawing their fan clubs in, or they have mailing addresses where they just email everybody out, hey, I'm going to be here. And people will come in and do that. Email lists are important when you have reading groups that read your books. There's especially if you're constantly writing. We have number. I'm sorry, guys. I'm battling allergies in Texas. One second. I don't want to cough your.
I get it. I get it. We've had some of that going around here in Ohio.
I may seem superhuman, but I'm not. I think promoting is important, but I see a lot of social media working to that advantage. I also see a number of folks posting outwardly to their own writers' guilds, their own writers' groups. And Facebook has been a wonderful tool for that. I've seen that quite a bit. But I've also seen people posting their book signings in public libraries, gyms. I said Starbucks before. And in some cases, some of the stores will allow you to post that you're going to be there the following week. there ahead of time. So that's also nice.
Do some genres do better than others? Have you noticed a trend at all?
Yeah, actually children's books do wonderful. Inspirational do well. Short stories do very well. Fantasy do really well. Science fiction does very well. Some memoirs do very well. I think those would be the hot topics there in those cases. We haven't really gotten into romance just because of the subject matter in a lot of them. But usually Christian romance does pretty well, which we've noticed. That's been good. So yeah, those would probably be some of the top topics or genres that do very well in the program overall. In fact, in our top 10 list, I'm trying to think, it was like we had three children's books in the top 10 list, two short stories in the top 10 list. And actually the number one story was a memoir. It was a gentleman that wrote a book in Dallas, Texas called Old Fart Advice, which was all based on a sheriff who lived in a town that was his relative, and the stories and things that he went through right up to his funeral. And a fantastic story. And he has sold, oh my goodness, probably around 4,000 of those books in our program over the past 2 years or more, you know? And everyone's like, these numbers, I mean, thousands. Well, here's what people aren't realizing. The average self-published author sells 150 books of their title in a lifetime. That's it. So if you're doing more than that, you're doing very well. And I can tell you that if you're out there, you'll definitely sell 150 plus books in our program in a year. That's no question. I can guarantee that. I mean, your book has got to be terrible. You know, it would have to be the worst terror, you know, it would have to be a bad combination for you not to, you know, be able to do it. But, you know, I mean, look, there are some people that just don't have the time to dedicate it to. And that's the other thing, too. It does take time, you know. I mean, and when I'm saying your book's not going to make it, it's because you're not even out there. You know, if you don't do a book signing, I can't say that you're going to sell anything. You know, I can't make that promise, you know. Yeah, you're in our program, but if you don't do a book signing, what can I do? You know, there is no magic wand to sales. I will say that right now. And if there was, we'd all have one and everyone would be a bestseller.
Well, and I have a word that I used a couple of years ago as my word of the year, and it was consistency.
Yeah.
And I think if you consistently get out there and just plug it in. I run by my calendar. And if you just plug it in that you're going to do so many a month or so many a year, you're going to see the needle move. You're going to see some progress if you're just consistent. Yep.
I will say this, going back on, if you know, books are not selling as well, some of the genres are just too specific or too specialized. You know, there's an interesting, if anyone here on this call ever works with Google or Facebook ads and everything like that, if you just try to experiment with that, you don't pay for one, just experiment with it when you're selecting interest groups and then type in the interest group of what your book is. See how many people fall into that category of interest within that state or within the United States or within the region that you're trying to promote to. And that will tell you how popular or unpopular your topic is. And I find that very interesting from an insight standpoint. You know, if you were, I've just seen like some topics that, you know, when you see children's books, you're like hundreds of thousands, millions, blah, 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 blah. You know, you'll see big numbers for that. But when you start getting into paranormal horror with a side of self memoir, and then all of us, it's like, it got, and it's like 10 people. It's like, wait a minute. You know, then you start to realize that your specialized group that you're getting to, your audience is smaller. I'm sure everyone who's ever published a manuscript and tried to get it to a big publishing house has been asked this question, and authors hate this question when they come back and they say, "So who's your audience?" And everyone's like, "What do you mean, who's my audience? What are you talking about? Everyone's my audience. Really? Are you sure about that?" And that is the question that authors dread, because they work so hard writing this book and they think this book is their next, you know, Harry Potter series or whatever. And then all of a sudden they get asked after someone's read the book, who's your audience? And it's like kryptonite. And that is a really hard thing for authors to identify. And what we've learned is the people and demographics that are buying books are folks who are probably about 48 and over that are buying books, some retirees that are buying books. And what we've also discovered is that not only are they buying books, but they're buying books for gifts for people, and they're buying books for other people that they know. Now, we do see other folks, and everyone's like, why such a higher age or whatnot? What is that about? Well, think about it. People that are between 20 and 40 are raising kids, a family, and everything else. I've got a 5-year-old and an 11-year-old. If anybody thinks I've got time to sit down and look, this is sad. I bought this book for myself to read, and it sits on my, you know, shelf here. And it's sad because I really wanted to read this book. It was a book that Ronald Reagan read as a child, and I really wanted to read the book, but I haven't even had 5 minutes to read it. And it's like, I'm going to, you know, daycare over here, school over here, gymnastics over here, this over here, working on the book business, doing this, doing that. It's like, whoa, you know, and that's why the demographics or age group, you don't see them buying so much because they realize their time constraints. And it's not that they don't want to read. It's not that they don't want to buy a book. What always amazes me is Amazon used to have this thing where before they would pay you by the page that somebody read, you get paid outright for the book when somebody purchased it from you on Kindle. Well, they were paying out all these royalties and everything to these folks. And then Kindle decided, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to pay by the page read. And you want to know what happened to the money that was these authors are making? Right down. And the reason why it went down was people were just buying the books and storing them and weren't even doing anything with them. And so people today probably have thousands of books sitting on their Kindle that they've never even gotten to touch or go near. And but when you've got like this author in front of your face, they're signing the book, they're talking about the book, they're getting excited about the book. You know, that's why short stories sell a lot. People will take the time to read an 8-page story within a book. So if you've got a collection of, my most popular book that I've got is called American Fables of Dunbridge. Not my series, but my Dunbridge American Fables. It's got 16 short stories in it, and people are reading through it and making the recipes after. It was just quick and easy, something fun, and they liked it. And they like short collections of short stories because they've accomplished something and they've done two things. They've read part of a book, they've done something, you know, it's just it. But I've noticed that. It's probably a long-winded answer, but I think it's important.
Yes, it is. Ray, put over in the chat for us under everyone how folks can connect with you and talk just a little bit here before we close out today. We're at the top of the hour, but talk a little bit about the new program that you're launching for authors so that they have a presence, an online presence, because so many new authors, they write, and even though they're in the process of either self-publishing or working with a vanity publisher, they really don't have a landing page anywhere. They don't have an online presence. They might have done a little bit of social media posting, but they don't really have a website or a place where folks can connect with them directly. And you're trying to eliminate that situation for new authors and give them a place to land. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was actually just trying to pull the site up. My IT company's probably working on it. Am I allowed to share it all or not really?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Let me make sure.
Did I just lose you?
Nope, no, I have to make you a co-host there for you to share. Go ahead.
All right. Hang on 1 second here. All right. Am I sharing now?
Not yet. There should be a share button at the bottom there of your screen.
Yeah, just click the green button.
Yes. And then it'll show your computer, and you may have to click on which screen you want it to go to.
Yeah, sorry for all my private stuff coming up, but it is what it is. Can you see my screen?
Yep.
This is the new e-commerce website that was just launched, and we're just figuring out some bugs on it. But this is a home for authors to actually sell their books. So look, you can choose an author and shop the authors that are there. There's me. There's some other authors that are in here. These were just loaded by our IT company to try to get a feel for what the website would look like. But look, you can click on it. You read a little bit about, and now I've got my own bookstore. There's what's about, everything about me. And there you can order my books. And then when the order goes in, the order goes directly to the author with the printed USPS media mail label that you just print off, slap it on an envelope, sign the book, and just drop it at the USPS store. That's the end of it. Really quick and simple, you know, but that's the point of this whole thing. I think this was interesting for me. Our little motto of signed by the author, not a robot. And everyone's like, why would you say that? Because Amazon's been getting into this whole litho signature thing, and so is Barnes & Noble. And that's not the author's signature. That's just, this is real. That's somebody who's taken a picture of it and thrown it in a book. You know, and this is the future, I mean, in my opinion, of, you know, book signings. Imagine you're sitting there having a Zoom call with your authors or with your readers, and you share the link to your shop while you're there. Mm-hmm. And now they're able to get signed copies from the author after doing that online book signing. And I think that's pretty cool, you know, and eventually we'll be having links to their, you know, own Facebook pages and everything else added into here as well. So that is part of our future here. But just while I'm at it, I'll just share with you, this is our website that we have currently. Those are all the states that we are served in right now up on the top. We're starting to run out of room, which is a good problem to have.
That's a good problem.
Yeah. And that's Janelle Maloney. She actually won the Storyteller of the Year Award, which is actually this award based on my grandmother, because she was a storyteller. So you get a $50 award plus a plaque, and then you get bragging rights for a year, plus you get to be on our website as the host of the website for a year. So it's pretty exciting. So we also
very
help
exciting.
With, yep. So I'm going to hit stop share there. There you go.
Perfect. 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 Now we are recording this. And so I am going to upload this over into Vimeo. It'll also be on YouTube. And then I'm going to put it over on our podcast channel, which then shares with like eight other podcasts. So it's going to put it out there. But in the description of this replay, I will put out how you can connect with Ray and how you can find out more about this program. So I just want to open it up for any questions before we go. Does anybody have any specific questions for Ray?
I have a quick question.
Yes,
hey, Leslie, how are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
Good, thank you.
Good. The e-commerce website, is that a standalone option?
That's a standalone option that will be separate from our National Authors and Grocery Stores program. So that'll be an entity onto itself.
Okay. And when might that be available?
We're hoping to have it available at the end of Q1. We're just wrapping up with the USPS account that we've set up, so that way that'll work perfectly. So we've got most of the bugs cleaned out of it, but it's almost there. One of the things that's the challenge is trying to make it inexpensive enough for shipping, you know, and you know, everyone's like, oh, free shipping. Well, shipping isn't always free. And so we've been trying to use a media mail price through USPS, which actually cuts shipping rates down to like $2 and $3 and $4 to ship a book, which is nothing. So that's pretty good. I mean, it's something, but it's not as, you know, expensive. The thing too, Leslie, is you're also getting a signed signature of the book, juxtapoint of going onto Amazon and you're just getting some zipped off on-demand print copy. So you're getting something a little more special with this.
And that, it sounds like, again, I'm new to the full process, but it sounds like then the author would have the book as the resource. They get some sort of prompt that an order has been placed, and then they handle getting that book sent. Okay.
That's it. And they don't even, once they print off the label from the email they get, they're just literally putting it onto an envelope, putting the book in the envelope and just dropping it at the USPS store. That's it. Because most independent authors have tons of books sitting in their garage, sitting in, you know, all over the place. And this is a means and a way to move that product out to the public. So.
have a couple of friends who have finished their books. One is a children's book, and the other is more of an inspirational book. I'm still working on my first book, but I thought they might be interested, so I was just going to share that information. I have your website up, but it looks like the e-commerce site is separate and distinct. Will there be a link on your current website related to that?
Yeah, we're actually going to be just promoting out the locally signed as its own. So you'll be able to contact through. There's registration forms for it. We've got to load perfect JPEGs in there and everything else. It's a little bit more complicated than the National Authors and Grocery Stores program, only for the
Nice.
reason that there's an IT upfront lift that we're trying to do that takes time, like getting a nice photo on there and then getting nice pictures of the books. Because it's not like everyone's like, oh, I'm going to upload my book, you know, for my phone. That's great. What is the quality of the picture going to look like once it's up there?
Yeah.
So we've already got that stuff thought out, and that's already going. Because as you can see, the authors themselves have already got books up there, and they've turned out very well. So we set criteria. What happens is if somebody wants to go there, they just contact us through the form. We'll get an email, and then we'll send them the registration forms to sign up. So that part's already up and running on locallysigned.com today.
Any idea on pricing for that particular
Yeah,
service?
it's going to run $75 a year and $10 a book to upload them. And then it's $75 a year re-up, which is extremely reasonable compared to Shopify, which is $50 a month. So you're saving several hundred dollars. And that's what we're all about, is saving money. And then you're getting 75% of the book sale. So, you know, if you're selling your book for, you know, what is it, $20, you're getting 15. And if you can buy the book for four, there you go. You're getting $11 profit or whatnot. So that's not a bad deal.
Thanks for the info. I
Yeah,
appreciate
and
it.
that's the other thing too, folks. Take a look at the math when you're dealing with Amazon. There's a little site, and I can't remember where it is, Understanding Your Royalties. And what's interesting about it is when you sell a book for $20 on Amazon, they're taking off their price to print the book, plus then they're taking off their 40% that they're taking, and then you're left with what's in between. And in that case, when you do a $16 book, you're making like $4. That's a big difference. A really big difference. So, hope they answered your question.
You
Yes, I
did. love
Thanks
it.
so
And
much.
any other questions? Thank you for that, Leslie. Any other questions before we go?
You know, it's only been within the last month or two that I heard of authors in grocery stores, and it reminded me of, is it Jerry Seinfeld, comedians in cars getting coffee? And I
Yeah.
thought, what is this with grocery stores and authors? I love the idea. And here you are, live and in person. That's pretty cool. So it's not just something that I saw on Facebook. There really is some substance behind it, and I think it's thrilling.
Kind of funny you said that, Sandy, because I almost wanted to print a sign that says, "We're not a scam."
Oh, yeah. And I know folks who have been successfully published on via Amazon, and now they're rethinking staying with them because their Amazon is doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So I like the fact that not a robot, there's a lot of trepidation dealing with chatbots and bots of all kinds and IA, and it just sounds authentic what you're doing. And if your audience is 48 years and older, they remember a time when you bought your books in a bookstore and you handled them and you paged through them. So you're kind of hearkening to those folks as well because they still may be going to Kroger. So it's a good,
Yeah,
I
it's
think it's
100%
really
true
good.
what you're saying, Sandy. 100%.
So
100%.
thank you for that. A lot of work, but thank you for that.
Yeah, it was a lot of work because we just did 1099s for last year's book
Oh,
sales, and I was up till 2:30 in the morning doing them, and I was like, I need to finish.
yeah. Oh my gosh.
So
Well,
that, but you know,
thank you for that.
it's funny you said that. There is a lot of work behind the scenes that goes into this program that people will never see or ever understand. It's not as simple as just throwing you into the grocery store. You may feel that way when you're choosing your store, choosing your week, choosing your date, that it was just that easy. I'm glad that you feel that way. You know what I mean? And that's good. That means we're doing a good job making it an easy experience for the authors. That's the biggest thing for us.
It's the same as when you're talking about being out in tents. My husband's a professional artist, and if I haven't been frozen, rained on, blown across the street, all that kind of stuff. But when the customer, potential customer comes in, we're all about, we're doing this all for you, you know, or you, they don't see that stuff. So, hey, anytime you can get rid, we do not do outdoor festivals at all anymore. It's nice.
Go ahead. It's funny you brought that up, and I don't want to torture anybody with more stories like I'm sitting on your porch, but I remember when I was in Temple, Texas at a Bluebonnet Festival, and it's a famous Bluebonnet Festival. I said, I'm going to go. So I went there the day before, set everything up beautifully, got everything done. I had an industrial strength tent. I had everything. Well, Texas is famous for what we call the wall. And that's how weather happens here. It's like a wall and all of a sudden it's hot, or a wall and all of a sudden it's cold. And one of those walls hit us and it went from 70, 80 degrees, and it dropped the next day to 50, 60 degrees like that. And when it did that, the pressure and the wind had destroyed my tent, and I was 60 miles from home. I did not know it until I got up the day of the festival and came into books all over the place. My tent was bent and destroyed. So just to prove to you how far I went, I was able to take all that down and then buy another spot at the festival under a porch to continue to sell books, and still sold 130 books that day, still after all that. And you can't give up, you know? I had that happen when I was in Oklahoma. The tent collapsed on me. I was 8 hours from home. But I lost 200 books, but I ended up selling 247 in the end. And I even went to Home Depot to go build a plywood sidewalk to my tent over the mud just to get people to go. So you can do all that, or you can go to the grocery store. So
I'll go to the grocery, Kroger's anytime.
So, I mean, that's the crux of it right there. Yeah. So
yes, the real life of a published author. Yes.
Sure. Thank you.
Definitely.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so much fun. And yes, Linda.
I just wanted to add one thing. I have an author friend who lives in Texas who's part of this program. And she has a cookbook. And there were several times we were on an online meeting and she would be like, I just came back from Kroger, had my table there. So it's a real thing, and I know a real person who's on the program.
Wow.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Wow, that's thank cool. you. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, eventually, I'd have to find someone. Eventually, you knew somebody with 20 states. It was almost inevitable at some point.
You're not in Pennsylvania, though, are you?
No, you're like the 85th person that's asked me about Pennsylvania. As much as the closest we come to Pennsylvania is Columbus, Ohio, which is, what is it, an hour and a half away, 2 hours?
Yeah.
You know, but I reached out to Redner's, but we just didn't get a response back. Sometimes it's a fit, sometimes it's not. But Kroger, again, has just been the superstar with us, always.
Well, like Linda, I also have a girlfriend that's in the program. Her name is Danielle Burnock. And she's been in the program for some time, and she loves it. She said she sells more books in this program than any other venue that she does.
Yeah, she took a break this year, but she was in the program up until December for almost 3 years. And what a wonderful friend of the program. She's absolutely been wonderful, Danielle. So, yeah, absolutely.
So, yes, it is a real thing for those of you that are listening. Thank you so much. It is a little after the hour now. I will put the replay, like I said, out on Vimeo, also on YouTube, and then in our podcast channels, which goes out on Spotify and about 8 different podcast channels. So you'll be able to find us there. And I will put all of the contact information for Ray in the description of the replay. So again, thank you for being with us today. I appreciate everyone so much for being on, and we will see everyone next time.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.